A very good evening to all of you. And of course, I am not one who is very happy to have a silence respond. I look forward to a very hearty yes from all of you saying it's indeed a very good evening.
Yes, indeed.
It is a good evening. I always say this in the beginning for the simple reason that we often forget one thing. We take every evening as like any other evenings. We take every morning as like any other mornings. It's all a kind of a default system of our mind by which we try to perceive the world every day. But when I'm saying to you good morning, or when I'm saying good evening to you, I'm trying to assert something, affirm something. I'm trying to say something in words of affirmation, for this is the higher truth. This truth has many dimensions to it. For the simple reason, just think of it, this evening never came to our life. This evening is the first time coming to our life. And once this evening passes off, it's over, it'll never ever come to us again, even if we wished it. Again, this evening, every moment of this evening, if we could live moment to moment of it, it could send to us and it could give us different messages that we didn't receive yesterday, and yesterday evenings. Thus, it is what happens is, as we live our daily life, gradually there is a tendency of taking things for granted. Or rather, perceiving things on a superficial level than on a deeper energetic level, where we find there is so much messages waiting for us to decode and accept. So when I was saying to you that let's all affirm from our heart and smile to this evening. As much as I always say, don't forget that we have such beautiful lessons to learn from the birds. The morning starts with the twittering and the music of the beautiful birds all around chirping. They're such beautiful teachers. They're lovely teachers for us. The whole mother nature, the mother nature, is continually teaching us. And the birds are so beautiful, wants to teach us this very simple fact of life, that today morning once again is a new morning. And the new morning cannot be like old mornings. And the new morning assumes meaning when I start to sing, when I start to dance, when I start to celebrate, when I start to bring music into it. All of it is trying to add value to a particular given thing in our life. The entire concept of mindfulness is basically awakening to a higher reality than the plane of consciousness in which we get normally bogged down to in a daily routine of battle for life. It's more like you gradually and gradually open up to lots of possibilities. Because deep down inside of you, there are such potentials, untapped, untouched, unraveled, and they are waiting for you to be seen, to be experienced. I'd be very lovely thing to do, and let us do it to begin with. Some little few stretches so that you feel that when you are working with your body, how the body responds to you. Could you kindly please all of you stand up for a while? Just your feet about 7 to 8 inches apart, your body beautifully grounded, your head looking straight, and you have both of your shoulders that is pushed back and the hands just hanging on the sides. And just please close your eyes. Now feel your body. From the head to the toes, Just scan your body with the eye of awareness. It's a feeling that energizes our body to a different level, that heals our body beyond our comprehension. Chi always follows consciousness. The prana always goes to those areas where your mind goes first. It is the consciousness which cleanses, detoxifies, takes away all the toxins of our body, if only we could just focus it moment to moment in different parts of our own body, which is the ultimate gift that we all have in this world. Please open your eyes. It is not that in order to meditate we have to sit down and meditate. Because meditation is nothing but being aware of who we are. If we are a physical body, then the moment we bring our awareness to our physical body, we are in meditation. If it is the mind that we all have and we're working with the mind, the moment we become conscious about the thoughts of our mind, then we are in meditation. If it is true that we all are breathing all the time, the moment we bring our mind to our breathing and yoke it to it, we are in a state of yoga or meditation. If you are fine, then I'll do some small little exercises that will relax your neck region. Simple exercises, but makes a difference. Like, take your right hand right in this particular area, and this is a support. What we do is, we try to press on the hand to create a tension on our neck muscles, a resistance, but the head will be looking straight. Let's just take a deep breath, press on the right side and create a tension. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and relax. Let's come to the left one. Keep your head straight. Take a deep breath. Press. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and relax. This is the first part. Yes, take a deep breath. You will count along with me. Take a deep breath. Press forward. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and relax. Go back. Now take a deep breath. Press backward now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and relax. Like this, under your chin. Not like this, just like this, under your chin. Yeah. Take a deep breath. Press down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and relax. Once again, right is right. Right is right. Take a deep breath. Press. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and relax. Left. Take a deep breath. Press. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, relax. Front. Take a deep breath. Press forward. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, relax. Back. Take a deep breath. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and relax. Under your chin, take a deep breath. Press down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Relax. Please close your eyes and feel the body and the changed energy in your body. This is going into a pause mode. When you are in pause, When you are trying to find the core of silence within you, your body gets relaxed. And the mind gradually comes to a calmer state. Please open your eyes. Do you watch one thing? Even when you are standing, and if for a few seconds you are trying to take your mind inside of you, there's a change, isn't it? And the fact that you just did a few stretches where you breathed deep breaths and at the same time coordinated that with certain amount of body movements, you found even that also brings a change in the energy level of the body. We'll do another small exercise which you will love. You'll see how, say, day long you have been busy doing many things, but most often you are not conscious that you are breathing. But you are breathing. All of us are breathing. But not that we knew that we were breathing. And that's a fact of life. We breathe without knowing we breathe. But when we breathe knowing that we breathe, the whole breathing changes into a completely different level of experience for us and opens the floodgates of one region of life, that is relaxed mode and out of relaxation to the world of wisdom and higher intelligence. It's only when your body is relaxed, mind calm, then and then alone you are available to the world of higher light and intelligence that is eternally available for posterity, for all of us, for all ages of people. But for that, we need to move from stress to relaxation. We need to change our words. We talk so much all over the world about stress, so little about relaxation. We talk so much about what we do and have to do, but we talk so less about pauses of life. Just watch your breathing. Every time you are breathing in, instantly you are not breathing out. There's a pause. Isn't? Between your breaths, don't you find there's a gap? Between my words, don't you find there's a gap? If I go on speaking without a gap, you'll all walk out of this place. Imagine you are on a computer board, you're writing something, and consciously or unconsciously, your thumb touches a particular bar we call space bar. That space creates a space between words. That adds value to words, otherwise it will be gibberish. If you don't use the space bar, if you keep on typing and typing and typing and typing all that we want to write, ultimately whatever you are trying to communicate, nobody will understand it because you missed one thing. You missed the space, which is the language of the universe. Universe talks to us in space, in pauses. Did you go to the ocean? You'll find when the wave splashes on the shore, there's a huge sound. And did you watch after that? There's a complete silence. We go to the beautiful beaches, we enjoy the beautiful swim, we do many things, but we don't meditate on these messages that are coming from the higher world to us. The message is simple. Look here, huge ocean. But how it functions? It functions in pauses. Don't you agree with me? What we are missing in life, which is causing disease to body and distortions to our mind and loss of peace of our soul, is because of the simple reason that we are addicted to doings but are detached and detracted from our natural inner self, which is our being. The whole process of the entire concept of mindfulness is nothing but once again get back to our natural self within, so that we live life inside out. We'll do one small once again and then we make you sit down. Take a deep breath and pull the two elbows together. Exhale out. Deep inhalation up and deep exhalation down. Beautiful. Once again. Exhale out. Inhale up As far as you can stretch, feel how the muscles are opening up. From this region up the back, you find you just become available to these changes in the body's functions as you become more conscious about it. Take a deep breath. Exhale out. Inhale up. And exhale down. Once again, please. Exhale out. Inhale up. And exhale down. Once again, please. Exhale out. Inhale up. And exhale down. Last and final. Exhale out. Inhale up. Deep breathing. Relax. And let's again go for a pause. Just close your eyes and please watch how your body's energy is changing. Become the observer. Become the witness, because you are separate from your body. You are not the body. That's the reason you say it's my body. My body means you and body are separate existence. You are the eternal witness of everything that happens to your body. You are the eternal witness to everything that happens to your changing mind patterns and emotional patterns. You are the witness. Just be the witness for a while to the changing pattern of your energy as you have stretched your body, made it available to the universal energy forces all around you all the times, and telling and communicating to the universe that you love your body, that you love yourself, that you love your soul. Please open your eyes. Please take your seats. The message is simple. This is one of awakening. Someone asked me, why are you called Baba? I said, it's short, simple, but actual truth is different. To me, B-A-B-A means be aware, be awakened. It's not my name, it's your name. In this world, everybody's name is Baba. As much as in this world, everybody has a living Buddha inside in a sleeping mode. Everyone in this world has a living Buddha, but in a sleeping mode. Whenever that sleeping Buddha awakens, we call that person the awakened one, the Buddha. Remember the words that Buddha was once asked, are you a great saint? Because many followers were there. He said, no. Are you a God man? He said, no. Then are you a sage? He said, no. Then if you are all knows, then what are you? He said, I am awakened. So Buddha is a state. Jesus is a name, but Christ is a state. Mindfulness is a practice. Meditation is a state. Mindfulness is a practice. But to be frank, meditation cannot be done. It has to come to you. If you go deep into it, you'll find you can make all arrangements to have a good night's sleep. But that doesn't mean you're going to sleep. You can have the best comfortable bed of the world. Everything perfect. But if you have a disturbed mind, if you have something of an anxiety creeping into your brain, then, yes, you want to sleep, and more you force to sleep, more the sleep goes away from you. More you wish, how I could just get into sleep at that time, more tensions will creep into your mind. That means more you force, more it goes away from your hands. That's the reason, initially, whoever tries to practice meditation, they start doing things which are at times a bit forced. It's not so much of an effort than effortlessness. It is not so much of a doing than non-doing. We are addicted to doing and finding results. That has been the physical world, physical perception, and physical ways of our life. Fine, so far, so good. But physical world is outside of you. But there's a huge unexplored world inside of you. Like an ocean. They say, if you count the number of species of life, that which is under the sea is much more than what we appear on the surface land. So also, what is inside our subconscious mind, what is inside our deeper states of mind, what is inside of our beautiful body in each of its cellular structure to the subatomic structure, that world is infinite. But how can we have access to you? Until such time you're available to it. Until such time you find time to sit with your body. Just as you sit with somebody else to give company to, listen to, talk to, converse to, know. But most of us, what we do, we come in this world, we spend our life not knowing that the biggest gift of all times is our body. No cathedral in the world could be built as the Lord has built this, as the universe has created this, as the nature has designed this, the ultimate skill of the ultimate nature, this universal teacher, has done this for us. So the moment we start to become aware of this gift, gradually, you know, things start to change, because the more you just take your mind deep within your body, then after that, whatever you try to do, it's more like a flow from inside out. Most often we get so much used to things that is coming from outside in, and we become dependent on outside things of life that possibly would create happiness for us. We try to cling to things outside of us, isn't true? We try to acquire so much from outside. We buy so much from the market. We procure so many things. Back of our mind, there's only one prompt. I want to be happy. If I have that, I'll be happy. If I have that, I'll be happy. I need to have that, then I'll be happy. But every such prompt that is coming from inside is basically oriented to something outside of us. But you forget one thing. Our feeling of happiness is inside of us and not outside of us. Our feeling of panic is inside of us, not outside of us. Our experience of anxiety attacks are inside of us, not outside of us. Our unhappiness is inside of us, not outside of us. Every life experience in its subtler level, all are experienced inside of us. Yet, there is such a treachery of the mind, such a trick of the mind, that the mind always tells you, no, your happiness is out there. Thus you go on and on and on every day, repeating, doing again and again the same thing, searching for something out there, but not knowing that its source is in here. It's almost like you see a huge tree and you love it, appreciate it, but you don't see the roots of it, which is the very mother of it. We always see huge trees, isn't it? But how many of us can see how this tree is standing and how its branches are full of leaves and beautiful fruits and flowers? From where? It's underneath. Do we see the roots? We can't. But can you? I'm sure you'll all agree that even the best of the trees, if the roots are in rot, the tree will fall tomorrow. We may have a beautiful external life, but our roots are inside. Life roots are inside of us. It's existential reality. It is something existentially inside of me. Until such time I am connected to the roots, my mind will become my worst enemy. Mind connected to the roots is my best friend. That book out there, Making Your Mind Your Best Friend, tells us one truth, that in this world, we keep on searching for good friends. But many a times, best of the friends turn out to be absolutely a bad experience. But we forget the true friend has always been there with us from the day we were born as a beautiful human child. From the day we are born with this best friend in us, and that's our mind. But when can the mind become our best friend? Only when the mind is connected to its source, to its roots, to its being, to its existence. If it is not connected to the source within, the mind will gradually drain out, rusted out, stressed out, because you are basically drawing out of a shallow pool. Whereas your spirit is like ocean. It's like expanse infinite. You can draw and draw and draw, yet it will be inexhaustible. Spirit is the inexhaustible source that is within us, about which we are not so much conscious about. Mindfulness is to be mindful of our own roots inside of us, so that we are not seeking and searching only in the blind alleys of life, but we are seeking and searching in the very root of our own existence inside of us. Then what we do? Yes, we have to do everything in our external world. We have to perform our duties. We have to do everything. But then, if we are really seeking health, if we are really seeking happiness, then let's first and foremost understand, health, happiness is a gift that I can give to myself and nobody else can give it to me. Health and happiness only I can give to myself, though I think someone else will give it to me. Someone will, you know, be very good to me, and I'm happy. All my expectations are from outside world. But my whole submission to you is that we should be again and again sending a reminder to our own mind, are you connected to your source? Are you connected to your essence? Are you connected to your being? If you're connected to your being, then you are a human being. Human connected to the being is a human being. Otherwise, you are just a human, a robot, an autopilot. Nothing beyond. Because you repeat and repeat and repeat the same things, and you get into the whirlpool of life where you start to complain, oh my goodness, it's such a stressful thing. My life experience is this, that we create this stress and we become the victims of it. The more we become conscious of our own mind, the more aware we become about the infinite abundance of energy that surrounds us all the time and continually blessing us all the time. Imagine we are able to see each other. Imagine we are able to see all the myriad of colors. Isn't it a great blessing? Isn't it a great gift? But tell me, how many of us wake up in the morning and have the eyes and the vision to see everything? And so, my goodness, I can see everything. I'm so blessed. What a gift. We don't say it. Because what's the deal? Till a small particle falls into my eye and then it starts to itch and I suddenly find everything is dark. Then I think, oh my goodness, what's happening to me? I'm losing my sight. But when I had my sight, I never made a note of it. I never said thank you to it. I never said grateful to it. I never feel it's such an immense gift to me. That's our life. We take simple things for granted. And in simple thing is rooted the ultimate wisdom of the universe. The great sages and the great saints and the great enlightened masters and the holy ones, whoever had come on this planet, if you just examine their life, they were embodiment of simplicities. They were all embodiment of a simple, humble understanding of a basic fact of life, and that is They came to realize that it's not out there that I can find happiness in life, that I can gain health, but it is right here inside of me. So ultimately it comes down to this, that to me, mindfulness is more like soulfulness. When I lead a life, moment to moment, connected to my soul, and by soul, what do I mean? Anything that is positive, anything that is light, that's your soul. Anything that is complex, that's your mind, because that's the conditioned state. You fed it from the day you were born as a child. Your parents have fed it, your society, your community, your teachers and books, literatures, everything has conditioned your mind, stuffed it. Your brain is nothing but a conditioned stuff. That's your ego. The conditions of the mind is your ego. That's what you think you are, but you are not what your conditions are. You an unconditional being, that's what you are. But we are so much detached from it. And that is our unnaturalness. That's the reason, you know, a child doesn't have teeth, but just smiles, and there are 30 people, they're all in peals of laughter. Why it happens? The child doesn't have even a teeth. But when that child tries to smile, did you see? There are 10, 20, 30 people, they're all in laughter. They're enjoying it. But what is it? The purity of innocence. And bliss, joy, is purity and innocence. It is not hidden in complexities. It is not hidden in knowledge. But it is hidden in wisdom. Knowledge chewed, digested, metabolized, energized is wisdom. Otherwise, it's a data. It's a fed data in your mind, information and knowledge. That cannot transform you. There are many knowledgeable people in this world. But go deep into their life, they'll find they're so insecure. They feel, if I lose this, what will happen to me? But truly, a man of wisdom has nothing to gain and nothing to lose. He's not one who is chasing for gains. Hence, he has no fear for losing anything. Mindfulness is basically to understand the simple, basic, rudimentary facts of life. So that we start to respect, love, give value, add value to what we have rather than what we don't have. Our unhappiness is because our mind goes to those areas which are not very pleasant. Our mind will always go to the past and go through those places where there are bitter experiences, painful experiences, memory chips which are not very pleasant. That's exactly where the mind will go and go hover around that place and bring all negative messages from there and say, oh my goodness, I don't know why it happened to me. It happened to you, but you're talking about something which is dead, gone, past. It's no longer there with you. Why are you scrapping that? Why can't you think that it came to you because it wanted to give you a message so that you can take the juice out of it, take the learning out of it, and leave it as it is, scrap, because it's gone, past, forward. Why do you have to carry a dead corpse on your shoulder and stinking smell coming out of it and be a part of it? Why? It's over. Let's accept this. And then let the mind be available for something higher, rather than something which is no longer meaningful put into my life on a day-to-day basis. Do you think I'm making sense? Contemplation. Contemplation is trying to understand my daily life. Am I going to be a kind of a robotical person who just keep on repeating the same things that I've been doing and doing and doing? But then one day my body won't be able to do. Then from where am I going to draw all my source of happiness? From where am I going to draw all my source of pleasures in life? Don't you think that every such effort brought to us, every such pleasure brought to us some pains? Did we ever have any pleasure without pains? This is like two sides of the same coin. Now I'm seeing this side, but tomorrow it'll come the other side, because the two sides make a tender notice. So the whole idea is, let us come to certain basic facts and understanding about life. Then life will become easier. My whole idea is how we all in this planet can make life simpler than what it is today. We have created too much complexities in the world. All our devices, all our technology had definitely gifted us a convenient lifestyle. But I'm sorry, the convenience have also brought along with it a heavy price. And that price is we have got disconnected from our natural self. We got detached from our inner essence, which is the real source of all happiness and joy and love in life. Now we are gradually moving to a space and a world where every day we are haunted by fears. We are haunted by such news pouring in from all sides. And you think, what's happening? Where am I? What's going to happen to me tomorrow? But who is creating it? You and I. And again, that which is made can be unmade. That which is created can be uncreated. There are two dimensions of our life. One, the changing, and the other, the unchangeable. The changing is our mind, our intelligence, which you keep on updating. We are all looking for the next iPhone 6, the updated version. But there is one thing inside of us that never needs any updation. The words that came from Tao, the words that came from Buddha, the words that came from Krishna, they are never updated. If it's written in Bhagavad Gita, something, karma-nyevadhikarasthi-mahaphaleshu-kadachana, you have only rights to action, but not to the rewards. It's a word from Bhagavad Gita. You have right to action. You can do many things, but don't cling to the results. Then you are creeping into a world of difficulties, pains, and problems. Do your best. Leave it to the universe to decide. You are a happy person forever. This needs no updations. Model 6 is not needed for this. This is an eternal model. Humanities will come and humanities go. Civilization will come, civilizations will go. This will remain with its own meaning and purpose. Only thing is that every person will read it, understand it to the level of their own perception and to the level of their own consciousness. Same word will ring to my ears differently than yours. Because I will take and translate those words through my own vibrations, through my own understanding and perceptions. It is up to us how we see life, how we interpret life, how we translate life, how we decode life, how we accept life, how we transcend life. It's all up to us. Nobody can do it for me as much as if anybody else eats, my stomach is not full. I have to eat for myself, and I have to digest for myself. I have to have the power to digest. And then I'll have the power to have my metabolic energy. I can function. In the same manner, my journey of life is absolutely individual. I need to realize that I have certain tendencies, unique. Nobody has those tendencies other than me. Every person have their own mindsets, their own patterns, their own ways of thinking. And the best way to live the life is that how we understand first our own true nature. Your nature is different from me. My nature is different from you. Everyone, the mother gives birth to two children, and the two children are different from each other. Mother is different from the children. Each have their own makeups. One says, I like this. The other says, no, no. Because everybody's tendencies are different. We need to realize that every individual in this world is created unique as much as a small, tiny particle of a sand in a huge beach. It's all there, but every particle is unique. So also you and I, every one of us are unique. One piece is created. But are you respecting that uniqueness? Are we adding value to that uniqueness? Are we adoring that uniqueness? Are we trying to understand the simplicity and the innocence in that particular state? Mindfulness is to become more aware that to me life is a gift. It's not something that I need to complain about, grumble about, regret about. There's a beautiful word coming from a great saint. Was once asked, was when he was parting, was leaving his body, and he was asked, if you have a parting message. He gave a beautiful parting message for all of us. He said, I lived my life without regrets, and I'm dying without regrets. I have lived my life without regrets, and now I'm dying without regrets. How many in this world can say these words? Because every one of us, when our head hits the pillow, if we ask open-heartedly, hey, are you happy with yourself? Are you sure you did the whole day's job fine? Everything is going good with you? Do you have any regrets? You say, yes, if only I knew that 20 years back, my life could be different. So many people told me, oh, Bhava, if only I had read your book, if I could hear you, if I could be with you 20 years back, I could be a totally different person. And my simple answer is this. No, you're absolutely wrong. 20 years back, you had a completely different mindset. And today's mindset is what is the result of 20 years of ups and downs of rollercoaster of life, which has brought you to this state of understanding of the perception. If you're able to understand even a single word from any words of wisdom, it's because you have gone through all those troubles and pains of life, which has filtered and distilled your life and mind to that state. Now you can absorb higher intelligence. You can absorb and understand and decipher the messages of the higher world. But you had to pass through it. So don't think 20 years have gone west. Think every experience, sweet or bitter, is part of life and is toward enrichment of the ultimate enlightened state. Nothing can be seen from the point of negativity. It's unfortunate we brand things on a negative terms. So here we are. My submission would be simple. Wake up every day morning like birds. Sing. Sing, if you can, the words of thankfulness, the words of gratitude. Sing, if you can, that you are so blessed, that you have one more day now. And that you can resolve that day, I can do everything that I have been doing a little better than yesterday's. Same thing, same situation, same circumstances will come to me. The same people will possibly come to challenge me. Where am I? Am I rooted to my ego or am I rooted to my soul? The same situations and circumstances in their own time spans will repeat to me because life is very repetitive. But how am I going to face each of these repetitive things is my mindful state. If I'm mindful, I'll know that this situation that is right there has come to ask me, what is the concept of my understanding of this situation? Am I in a pause mode or a reaction mode? If I'm in a pause mode, then something is told to me, but I don't have the urge to give a reply to it. I'll wait. I'll take a pause. I was telling you, between two words, there's a pause. So also, there is something which is happening. Instantly, your judgmental mind goes and judges. And then you are right there, ready to give a reaction to it. But thereby, you bind yourself. Because the consequences will come, either sweet or bitter. And you become a part of it. So the best part that you can do is, on a day-to-day basis, simple exercises, how between every reaction you create a space. Between everything that you want to say, filter it. ask yourself, before saying anything, just ask yourself, is it necessary? First test. Second screening. Is it true? Many things will be discarded by that. So you don't have a chance to talk anymore. And finally, if you even passes the second test, the final test is most difficult. Is it kind? Is it true? Is it at all necessary that I have to say this? By saying this, I could create more ripples of negativity. And what do I gain out of it? I have corrected this man or this woman for ages. It's not corrected. Why do I do it again? For what? Why do I think that this time I'm going to make it? Why? Funny. Don't do it. Create a pause. Relax. You have not come in this world to make things as you think you are right, and that's how the world should be. You have come to this world to learn. The world is running its own. You try to follow its axis. You don't resist. Nothing will persist in your life. All your stresses, all your tensions, all your hypertensions caused because of one thing: continual judgments and continual resistance. Withdraw the resistance, come to a state of pause. You'll find that you have so much more available to you, because in this space there is a possibility for the universe to whisper through your ears. But when you quickly give a reply, the universe doesn't get a chance. Then you are the boss, then suffer. Create that gap. To me, mindfulness is just an act of creating that gap between our two doings, between our two actions, between our two thoughts, between our two breaths, between our two steps, between our two days. Everywhere you try to bring that gap, you find life expanding from there. Does it make sense? So mindfulness is soulfulness. You become more soul-oriented than ego-oriented. You are not out here to prove anything. You are out here to learn. Bow down. Become humble and become available to the higher light so that it flows through you and you are doing nothing. Yet so much is achieved. I often say this word everywhere. Look here. Let's learn from Mother Nature. She is accomplishing a huge task, but she's never in a rush. She's never in a hurry. But we all are in a hurry. We want right now. Right now. Yes, you will have it right now. But are you here? You're not here. How can you have it right now? Now and here. Have it. You want now, but you are not here. To be here, you have to be mindful. Otherwise, your body will be here, you'll be somewhere else. Like, you go to the shower in the morning and your mind is all over because the whole day you have to do 20,000 things and prove that you are existing. And you're taking a shower. You don't even see the beautiful water flowing. You don't even recognize it. You don't know its warmth. You don't know its energy. You don't know it's flowing to you from some divine source. You don't know that you have not created this water. You don't even know that this is pure energy. Otherwise, how could it? As it tickles down your body, something happens to your body. Your body's energy completely changes, refreshed. How? Whole process. It's so robotical. You go through the whole process. You come out of it without knowing it has all happened. My point is, you missed one beautiful opportunity to upgrade yourself. You didn't go to just shower and take a bath and cleanse your body. That's the superficiality of life. Your body is only a superficial part of life, aging every day, deteriorating every day. None can stop it. But yes, if you can give that bath to your inner self by being aware and conscious of this beautiful gift that water is, and become conscious that your body is being washed clean, and become available that as it trickles down, as I am attaching myself with my consciousness to it, this is no longer a body bath, but my inner bath. As I give that inner bath, as my inner self is cleansed and purified, automatically I see the world in a different light altogether. The same things appear differently because my consciousness is different. We don't see things through our eyes. We think we see through our eyes, but we don't see through our eyes. We see things through our minds. We interpret things through our mind and see things and then say, this is this, this is that. If we can have a cleansed mind, if you can have a bathed mind in the morning when you have your shower, I'm sure for the rest of the day, you will see things differently, interpret things differently, accept things differently, and then give your responses to it differently. And each of these differences is toward light, toward a greater height, toward a greater evolution of your consciousness. And that's the purpose of us being born in this world as humans. No other purpose. We are not here to create 100 stories of skyscrapers. We are not here to do all kind of technological jargons. We are here to understand, who am I? Without understanding this, life is meaningless. The most successful man is the most insecure man in this world. A true success comes when you have the mind, your body, and your breath, your spirit, are in such alignment that you are available to the universal forces of nature, who ultimately has to do all good to all. And you are available to it, and you are offering yourself. And then you don't run for success, success runs for you. You don't run for money, money runs for you. You don't chase for your name, fame, and anything of that kind, but they all chase you wherever you go because you are now a magnet. Magnet of divine energy, positive energy, powerful energy, and vibrant energy. Because you are not looking for your individuality to be stamped on the face of earth. You are trying to take the individuality away and universality to work through you, and you are available for all good in this world. You don't do good. Universe does it. I often tell everybody, I have not come in this world to change anybody. I often tell everybody that there are thousands of people. I go to the villages of India where I work. Johnny, it'll be very nice, you know, when you are talking about me. The best thing that really comes to my mind is not that I've been awarded the Peace Award and all of that stuff. It's a very simple thing. When I work with the street kids of Calcutta, when I go to the deep villages, remote villages of the islands of Sundarbans, and work with the women there, feel, and I see that they have nothing, yet they have such abundance. I walk with these beautiful street kids of Calcutta, and I see they have nothing, but yet they are so happy. And here I am, I see so much abundance, but I don't see those smiles. I can't relate. What is then the essence of the understanding? What gives us happiness in life? Is it our possessions? Or is it something beyond our possessions? Is it something beyond the business card that we all hold in our hands to prove who am I? What is that which actually is the source of happiness? It's very simple. Simple, humble, surrendered life. Simple, humble, surrendered life. When you are simple, you'll find that you'll be able to decode many things in simple terms. When you are humble, the universe will start to whisper in your ears. You'll be at any place. You'll find wisdom will flow through your body, mind, all the time. Because you are available. And every word that is spoken by the ascended masters, they are in the ether for eternity. They're never destroyed. The man comes, the man goes, but the words never die. They are available to all of us, but we must have our system tuned to it. Then we can download it into our system. That's exactly what I'm trying to share with you, is that start the day with a musical note. Don't start the day with yesterday's. Start the day fresh. Celebrate the morning. Have at least 2 to 3 glasses of water the first thing. Don't wash your mouth. Don't wash your mouth. Go and first have 3 glasses of water. Flush your kidney, flush your bowel, and have a fresh body. Because whole night there's a lot of dehydration, so you freshen your body with the water, the first gift you give. But when you take the water, take it consciously. With gratitude in your heart. With love in your heart. You say, I'm so thankful that I'm having drinkable water, pure water, good water. There are so many people who are thirsty and little water that they get so contaminated. So, little things of daily life. But in each of these little things of daily life, I need to invite health into myself. Through each of these little things of daily life, I need to bring happiness into my life. Not that somebody will give it to me, then I'll be happy. I'm sorry, if somebody gives you happiness, that somebody will give you misery for sure. Because any moment they'll unplug. That's my wish. I give you, I can take it back. Independence is the core of spirituality. And it comes through self-help. True spirituality is one of freedom. Because we are bonded, that's our misery. We are free birds. And you are encaged in your body. How can it be happy? You leave the bird out of the cage, it flies, and you see the joy. We all have that bird inside of us. But this is the cage. We want to be free, but we can't. We want to be free out of all our bonding thoughts and ideas and concepts and constructs of our brain. But still we are encaged into it. But we need to recreate our own brain structure once again. That's what they call as the beautiful new fashioning of your brain, reorientation of your brain. How? The more you bring the positive thoughts of affirmations, feed into your brain again and start a new channel into your brain again. It will not go happen overnight, but if you keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, a new code will come. A new happening will happen. A new blossom will come into it. And new pathways will be created in my brain. So the same things will happen, but I'm not going to interpret it same ways anymore. I'll interpret it differently and accept it differently. Life then will then become a more easier flow because it's flowing from inside out. After you have had your water and your morning rituals, then just go for a little stretching. Stretch, because if you stretch, it's like you are opening yourself up to the universal energy field. Tell, communicate. Here I am, available. Come, feed me with your love. And you'll be fed in no time. The more you stretch, the more you breathe long, deep breaths, but mindful breaths. Not unconscious breaths. Not mechanical breaths. Mindful breaths. Knowing breaths. Then what will happen? Your breath will unite with the universal breath of life. Your body will unite with the universal body of this universe. And as it happens, automatically your mind will calm down. So the first morning tuning of your body, mind will be totally different, ready to take any challenges for the day. No complaint of any energy lack. No complaint of any idea lack. You are fresh. You can take everything, but with a pause. That's my whole idea, with a pause. If you miss the pause, you miss the universal language. You add meaning into your life through your pauses. That pause is mindfulness. That pause is meditation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we do have time for questions. Are
yes.
You, yes. If you'd like to ask a question, and I'm sure there's a number here, just put up your hand and I'll bring the microphone to you so that we can record the question as well as the answer. We're also able to take questions from people online. If you type in a question, I'll read it out for you.
We'll bell the cat.
Forgive me, I don't have a question, but I want to thank you very, very much. Very much for your inspiring words.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you.
Well, it's a first. I guess we're all satiated by the words of wisdom and the presence of peace and wisdom. Well, if there are no questions, then another hand of appreciation, please.
Thanks, but on this particular concept of questions, I always love to tell this story to everybody that, you know, it so happened once in the life of Buddha. It's a very interesting story. And at the time when Buddha was there, there was yet another man who was equally very famous and had a huge band of disciples with him. He was a great scholar of his own times. His name was Mangalangipatta. Well, one day he heard that there's another person who is equally very popular, and he didn't so much like it, so he wanted to challenge this man. And in those days, there was one of the traditions in India that one master would go to another master, and if in a debate the other master is defeated, all their disciples become this master's disciples. That was, in those times, that was a kind of an understanding. So this man walks on to him, and he just sits before him and says, okay, I've heard that you have answers for everything. Well, I have a question. If you can answer my question, then done, all my disciples are yours. But if you fail to answer my question, then all your disciples are mine. Is it okay? He said. Buddha, quite naturally, Buddha is Buddha, so with all compassion, and again, of course there was a pause, I'm sure. He must have taken a pause. And after the pause, he said, well, fine, I totally agree with you. I accept what you say, but I have a condition. So he said, condition? It's okay if you have a condition, well, let me know what the condition is. But before he could say anything, there was a man sitting under a tree. He started laughing and laughing and laughing. So Mangalangipatta was a little stuck. He said, what's the matter? Why this guy is laughing like that? As if he's mocking at me. So he said, why are you laughing? He said, look, this man is very deceptive. If you have a question, ask him right now. Don't accept his condition. You know what the condition Buddha gave to that man? He said, okay, I'll not answer one question. I'll answer any number of questions for free. But that one condition is that you have to stay with me for 1 year observing a vow of silence. This man started laughing loud, saying, hey, if you accept this, you'll be like me. When I came 1 year back, I said, I have some questions. And he said, I'm ready to answer all your questions. But then I have one thing, a small little condition. And he said, what's the condition? He said, just you have to be with me along with all these people who are around, just observing the vow of silence. I thought, oh, it's 1 year, you'll pass, that's like that, like that. And I accepted this particular challenge. And here I am. Every 10 days, 15 days, he'll come and ask me, where's your question? Now I have no questions left in my mind. My submission is this. If you have questions, then transform it into a quest. Do you get my point? Question is more curiosity-based. Quest is more soul-based. When you are a true seeker, you never be satisfied with just vocal answers or answers from books or literatures only. Because you are an original person in this original world, you will have to seek your own answer. And you cannot have a better source than your inner source. You can have all props outside of it, but those answers are their answers. If Buddha answers, it is Buddha's answers. That may not suit me. It might have suited Buddha, but doesn't mean it will suit me. Every enlightened person has given their teachings, but I need to find that which is best applicable to me and my life. So if there is any question, convert that into a deep quest for your life and go deeper and sit in silence. When you are going to bed, don't sleep. Sit for a few minutes. top to bottom, just scan your body, relax your body. Watch your breath for a few seconds, the beautiful way you are inhaling and exhaling. Fill the breath with all the universal energy and just say that I'm being so blessed, I'm so relaxed now. And feel that as you just yoke your breath with your mind, the breath and the mind joining hands together, that holy confluence will create a beautiful, tranquil state of calmness in your mind. Then impregnate what you really want to know into your subconscious, because that's a huge resource to answer any question from your original source. Feed your mind at that time what exactly you want to know. Throw it into the universe inside of you and say, this is the quest of my life. I want to know an answer. I'm not happy with borrowed answers. I'm not happy with bookish answers. I'm not happy with somebody else's answers. I want my answer because I am I. There's no one like me in this world. It may not come on the first day. It may not come after 10 days. It may not come after 3 months. But one day it will come, and that day you'll be completely transformed. That one answer will transform you, make you a Buddha, will make you the awakened one. But million question answers will not make you a Buddha, because they are borrowed from outside. They're not yours, and they're not transmuted into you. But that's exactly is the path. We need to walk our path. Every day is a day and an opportunity at the same time. Every breath is a breath and an opportunity at the same time. How we interpret it, how we accept it, how we live it, how much humbled we are to learn from the universal teacher, the mother of the universe. There could not be a better teacher than the mother universe, the mother nature. And if we are beautiful children of the divine mother, she would teach us exactly what we need to learn in life. And life will become simpler. And a simple life is mindful life. And a mindful life is a happy life, healthy life. Thank you again. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.